ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदम् गुरुम् मुक्षूणाम् हितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते। तत्त्वबोधः मुमुक्षूणाम् हितार्थाय अभिधीयते। This text, Tattva Bodha, is presented here for the wellness, well-being of those who are desirous of accomplishing moksha. Which means, Tattva Bodha itself serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. Tattvasya Bodha. Tattva Bodha. And now, we have seen elaborately four different topics. In the very beginning itself, we found the topic, the qualifications required for the attainment of jnanam. In fact, it is not merely the qualifications required for the attainment of jnanam, the qualifications required for the attainment of knowledge as well as the enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge. Then the second topic actually analyzes individual. There's a philosophical postmortem of an individual is done. What an individual is. If you really take individual, see individual is, there is a gross physical body, the subtle aspects which indwell the gross body, which constitute the subtle body. Then we understand something to be a causal body, in fact, avidya as the causal body. It is not a body. Avidya, the causal body means it is not a body, as we see. But how avidya is responsible for the assumption of the body. Therefore, it's said to be a causal body. And apart from these three bodies, we also have the all-pervasive, subtlest, abstract reality obtaining as the innermost self of every individual being, implied in the term Atma. So every individual is a composite of these four factors, Atma and three bodies. These three bodies alone we understood in the very beginning as five layers of personality. Annamayaha koshaha, pranamayaha koshaha, manomayaha koshaha, vijnanamayaha koshaha, anandamayaha koshaha. Three bodies are given again another name, five koshas. So five koshas with Atma is what? An individual. So which aspect of these is individual? All these, every aspect, all these aspects put together is an individual being. So what is the truth of the individual? That is analyzed, arrived at here in the, as the second topic. Analysis of the individual. Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha is second topic. So there we understand these three bodies are anatma, because anatma is matter, anatma is object of knowledge, anatma is matter, anatma is of the nature of inertness, which is dependent on the very atma for its very existence. And atma is not distant from the anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Atma is not distant from body, mind, sense complex. What is Atma? Abstract, formless reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual, implementing Atma, and which we arrive at as the Swarupam of the knower, subject of knowledge, I. So this reality arrived at as the Swarupam of the knower, yes, the truth of the knower, I, nothing but pure consciousness or pure knowledge. So we arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing, as the Swarupam of the knower. And this Atma alone is Satyam. This Anatma is Mithya, because Anatma is dependent on Atma for its very existence. Even though Atma is dependent on Anatma for its manifestation, for its recognizability. So here, Atma, what is important lesson? Atma is distinct, not distant from Anatma, non-distensible from Anatma. At the same time, Anatma is non-different from Atma. Atma is non-distant from Anatma, distinct from Anatma. Anatma is non-different from Atma. Therefore, Anatma is not countable as reality or parallel reality. Anatma is not even countable as a second thing. So the truth of I is actually pure knowledge, pure consciousness, obtaining as the Swarupam of the knower I, distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex, which you understood in our second discussion on Jiva Swarupa Vichara. The third topic we saw was Samashti Vicharaha or Samashti Swarupa Vicharaha, inquiring to the nature of the macrocosmic being, the Lord. So here, Lord and the universe are not two different things here. Here again, what is Ishvara? Ishvara is a status attributed to the same reality, which we arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing as the truth of I, obtaining as the existence of the every known object, implied by the term Brahma. It's the same reality which we arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing as the Swarupam of I, truth of I, in terms of pure knowledge or pure consciousness, obtaining as the existence of every object, pure existence of everything, implied the term Brahma. So here again, we have Samashti Sthula Prapanchaha, Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha, and we have Karana Prapanchaha, causal universe. And this Swarupam of Ish Jiva, obtaining in of consciousness, and the Swarupam of Ishvara, obtaining of pure existence, is one and the same. The existence, the Swarupam of Ishvara, the truth of the whole, is not different from the truth of the individual. The pure existence is pure consciousness. They're not two different things. How we understand that the swarupam of everything is existence? Because here, Upanishad, this textbook presents the karana karya prapancha. Sorry, karana karya prakriya. Karana karya prakriya, the cause effect analysis. It is briefly said that everything has come into existence from Maya, the power of reality. So Brahmanaha, Brahman, the reality implied by the term Brahman is endowed with the power called Maya. And from Maya alone, everything has come into existence. Means Maya manifests as the universe, manifest is the universe. The universe unmanifest is the Maya. Therefore, the Maya and the universe, nothing but the unmanifest power of reality is Maya. Otherwise called avidya, ignorance. And the same Maya manifest is knowledge in the form of universe. Whether the manifest or unmanifest power is non-separate from its source, Brahman. Therefore, it is the reality which lends existence to the power. So reality is in the form of existence of the whole cosmos. Existence, pure existence is the nature of reality, which is in the form of, which alone is in the form of the whole universe. It's called Ishwara. So here, this existence enjoyed by every object of knowledge is nothing but pure consciousness, which is the nature of reality obtaining as one's own self. We briefly saw that. Then the fourth topic, we also saw how this existence is consciousness. They're not two. Consciousness and existence are not two different things. Consciousness alone obtains the form of existence of the whole. Existence enjoyed by everything is nothing but consciousness. Because nothing, no form, name and function, which forms part of the universe, has existence independently outside of consciousness. So the fourth topic we saw was how consciousness and existence, the swarupam of the whole Ishvara, is not different from the pure consciousness, the reality obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual. Therefore, Jiva Swarupam and Ishvara Swarupam are one and the same. Jiva and Ishvara. Jiva and Ishvara in the form of the Jagat is essential nature of Jiva, and Ishvara in the form of the universe, the whole Jagat, is one and the same, non-different. The oneness of the essential nature of Jiva and Ishvara in the name of Jagat, also we arrived at, we understood. And finally, we understanding what the benefit of the knowledge. See, when knowledge takes place, what happens? Because the whole samsara, in terms of bondage of karma, is because of ignorance. Because of ajnanam, it is not anybody's fault. Ignorance is natural. Partial ignorance is natural. Partial knowledge is natural. Therefore, erroneous self-perception is natural. Because of wrong identity with the body, mind's complex is natural. Therefore, mistaking the body, mind's complex for the self is natural. Therefore, superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma is very natural. Therefore, it is natural for us to have this common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I also. And because of this fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, sense of unhappiness centered on I, the very need for the desire arises. That is how the desire comes into existence. Otherwise, the desire is not at all possible. The phenomenon called desire originates because of this fundamental problem. The problem is resolved, desire also will resolve. So desire is a natural phenomenon. The desire of likes and dislikes then impel actions. So action also, whether right action, wrong action, knowingly done action, unknowingly done action, any action is product of ajnanam. Ultimate root cause of karma is ignorance. That is why we always say no karma can ever destroy, resolve ignorance. Karma being the product of ignorance cannot resolve ignorance. That is why manasam karma, even mental activity, meditation is also karma, cannot remove ignorance. Why? Any action, whether it's a manasam karma, vachikam karma or kayakam karma, is expression of the inner pressure in terms of desire or likes and dislikes caused by the sense of the fundamental problem of smallness or inadequacy centered on I, caused by ignorance. And karma definitely produces result because it is law of karma. When the karma produces result, the karma phalam is definite. And karma phalam alone, we saw trividhani, trividham karma, three types of karma, sanchitam karma, prarabdham karma, agami karma. So sanchitam is there, how long has it been there? If you cannot trace your own aura first, so you cannot say there has been karma. No, timelessly. Sanchitam karma. And a portion of sanchitam which is exhausted in the present life is prarabdha karma. While exhausting the prarabdha karma, again new karma is accumulated. Karma phalam is accumulated, which is called agami karma phalam. So agami karma phalam always will join the sanchitam. Therefore, there will always be bondage of karma. As long as karma is, so long will there be mind assuming a body and be born again and again and again to exhaust the karma phalam. So how long is it possible? How can we free ourselves from the bondage of this karma? What is freedom from this bondage of karma? And Shastram says we need not exhaust all our karmas to become free. Total exhaustion of all karmas is impossible. It is actually speaking, the karma is only if we entertain the notion that we are the enjoyers. I am the enjoyer. The notion is there. Naturally, the karma will be there. Punya papam will be there. I am the enjoyer. Notion will be there. If there is notion, I am the doer. So I am the doer. Aham karta. Aham bhokta. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. This is very, very important. These notions are, of course, wrong notions. Centered on I. Am I the doer? Am I the enjoyer? We are not very clear. There is a very strong notion that I am the doer. The very strong notion, I am the enjoyer. It's not, okay, it is a fact for us. Even though it is not a fact, it is true. In our understanding, it is so deeply ingrained in us that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Therefore, these notions are, Shastram says, these are wrong notions. Why? Because the physical body is involved in activities. Sense organs are involved in functions. Powers of organs of actions are involved in functions. Mind is involved in function. And all these functions are happening. within the realm of an order, Ishvara. Everything is happening in the Ishvara's order. Whereas, who is the doer? We are not activating our hearts and lungs. We are not doing anything, making anything function here. Everything is functions involuntarily. There's an order involved in every function, which is, there's order involved in every function. That order is backed by knowledge, which is manifestation of knowledge, which is Ishvara. Therefore, Ishvara is involved. Who makes our hearts function? Ishvara in the form of order and knowledge. Who makes our sense organs function? Ishvara in the form of knowledge, the order. Intelligence, the intelligent order involved in all the functions is manifestation of knowledge, otherwise called Ishvara. But we think I am the doer. In fact, what is the Swarupam of I? What am I? If I is just as long as I sense obtaining in the form of a thought, which rises, exists and resolves. There is a time I sense rises, I sense exists, there is a time I sense resolves. This I sense, which rises, exists and resolves in the form of a thought, is actually distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. This I is a mixed, identified with the rest of the anatma. Therefore, I identified with the body, mind, sense complex is subject to go through this sense of smallness. Therefore, there's a doership or enjoyership that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These notions are because of the mixing up of I with non-self, anatma, body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, if I is distinguished cognitively, then I is understood, I is the Swarupam of, I is resolved in its own truth, the Swarupam. Then, from the standpoint of consciousness, the Swarupam of I, if we see, I actually is consciousness. I am consciousness. Consciousness has no doership, no enjoyership. Even though without Atma, the consciousness, there cannot be a doer, there cannot be an enjoyer, there cannot be experiencer. But still, Atma is absolutely free from knowership, doership and enjoyership. Atma is not the knower. Without the Atma, there cannot be a knower. Without the Atma, there cannot be a doer. Without the Atma, there cannot be an enjoyer. Without the Atma, there cannot be an experiencer. But Atma has pure knowledge, pure consciousness, obtaining of existence of everything known here, is absolutely free from doership and enjoyership. Consciousness does not think I am a doer. Consciousness is not the doer. Consciousness is not the enjoyer. Therefore, if I sense is identified with the consciousness, because I sense doesn't have existence outside of consciousness. I is consciousness, I am consciousness, I the knower am the self, I the self am consciousness, Atma. If repeatedly this fact is, this is a fact. This is the fact about every individual essence self. This is the fact. If this fact is understood and repeatedly dwelt upon, assimilated, one can definitely become free from the wrong notions. One can become objective towards one's own body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, when the doership and enjoyership are resolved, there are no punyam, no papam. Just by becoming objective towards the body, mind, sense complex, just by resolving the wrong notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, the panchitam karma disappears, agami karma also is not there. We saw last class how for a wise person, nalini dalagata jalavat, just as the water which is on the lotus leaf does not taint the leaf with the leaf, Similarly, the wise person is not tainted or touched by agami karma also. The parabdha karma, he exhausts. Ajnani exhausts parabdha karma. Jnani also exhausts parabdha karma. But still, Jnani is not afflicted by the parabdha karma because of his objectivity, because he is jivan muktaha. He is free while living. There is no doership or enjoyership on the part of the wise person. Therefore, he can be objective towards the affliction. Any part of the karma phalam, he is not unaffected by any part of the karma phalam. He is free while living. Jin muktaha. So, this bondage of karma, karma, performance of karma is inevitable. The result of karma is also inevitable. But I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions really make us bound. We are bound because of the wrong notions. Otherwise, there's no real bondage. We really do not attain any freedom at all. We are as though bound, as though we attain moksha, just by resolving the wrong notions in the wake of the clear knowledge. That is why the whole teaching is not for undoing, destroying anything here. Moksha is not destruction of attainment of moksha, is not really destruction of anything, undoing of anything. The moksha, attainment of moksha is nothing but discovery of what is already there as our own real nature. Thereby, in the wake of the knowledge of what we are essentially, all wrong notions resolve. Resolving, having all wrong notions resolved is actually attainment of freedom. There's nothing is destroyed. Correction of error in our perception of the self. Thereby, the correction of the error in the perception of the world is attainment of moksha. This is what is jivana muktihi. Correction of error in our perception. And this correction or error in a perception of the self and the world is dependent on clear vision of what we are essentially, what this world is essentially. The whole teaching is for understanding what, how everything is essentially one and the same. And the essential oneness of the whole is understood as the essential oneness of essential nature of one's own self. Thereafter, understand how essentially the whole is one and the same. In the clear vision of the essential and vision of the oneness of the whole, the perceptions, error in the perceptions alone become corrected. In right perspective, we see all the sanchitam, agami, everything just disappears. And parabdha is exhausted objectively, and it also is completed. A wise person is absolutely free from, becomes free from bondage of karma. As long as ajnanam is, we cannot help being bound by karma, karma phalam. When jnanam is, it is impossible for us to be bound anymore. That is what is the teaching here. And we have to see the last bit. We saw last class. Agami karma api jnanena nashyati. Kincha. Agami karma nam nalini dalagata jalavati jnaninam sambandho nasti. So wise people do not have any connection with the agami karma also. For you just not to have any sambandha, any connection with the agami karma phalam, what should you do? I am living my life, exhausting my parabdha, I am living my life, here exhausting parabdha karma phalam, going to parabdha karma phalam, but because now I have to use my willpower, I have to use my agya of right and wrong, I have to do karma to live my life, to appease my hunger, to quench my thirst, to fulfill my needs, to live my life, I need to do karma. So these karmas definitely will produce agami karma phalam. How can I free myself from agami karma phalam? Shastram says, jnana sambandha nasti. If you have jnanam, if you know what you are essentially, and thereby it's not enough simply you know what you are essentially. The knowledge will be complete only when you understand the whole jagat is essentially one and the only reality implied with the term Brahma, which reality alone is implied with the term Atma, obtaining as innermost essence. The two realities are not there. Only when you understand, when your identity with the body, mind's complex resolves, wrong notions become resolved, the error in the perception is corrected, then you have no agami phalam, also no sambandha, no connection at all with agami karma phalam. Nalini dalagat jalavat jnaninaha sambandha nasti, which we saw already. So that is why all our effort must be focused on attainment of knowledge of the truth of the whole, obtaining as our own Swarupam. Atma Jnanam. What I am essentially. What I am. What I is. For us to make efforts, definitely we must see the fact that I, the first person singular pronoun, which is expressed, is distinct from the rest of the body, mind, sense complex. We must see this fact. I is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex. Once you understand this distinct, even though not distant, and this distinct I, which is not distant from body, mind, sense complex, is essentially nothing but inexplicably subtlest, abstract, pure knowledge, pure consciousness. This fact must become very clear. Then the wrong notions resolve, error in the perception is corrected, then no agami karma. You can see how you are untouched, untainted. Unless you see yourself being pure consciousness and pure knowledge, there's no way of seeing yourself being untouched, untainted by any karma phala. Where is the jarship for the Atma? Where the doership for the Atma? Definitely there is no punyam or papam for the Atma. So we saw that last class. We'll see next sentence. Sentence. Kincha. Kincha. Further. Ye. Ye. You know very well. Ye. The yaha yau ye. Dakarantaha pullingaha yad shabdaha is a relative pronoun. The one who, he who, those who. Relative pronoun. Ye, we haven't it done, but still I can remind you. Like tad shabda, yad shabda, yad shabdaha. Dakarantaha pullingaha yad shabdaha. Relative pronoun. Masculine gender. Ye, yaha, he, who, the one who. Yau, then ye, plural. Nominative plural. Ye, those who. Jnaninam stuvanti. Stuvanti means praise. Stuvanti, praise, glorify. Those who praise, glorify whom? Jnaninam. Jnaninam is objective singular. Jnanin shabdaha. Nakarantaha pullingaha jnanin shabdaha. Nominative jnani, objective case jnaninam. So ye jnaninam stuvanti. Those people who praise the wise person. Who is a jnani here? The one who has jnanam is jnani. One who has knowledge is knowledgeable. So, jnani, ஞானம் யஸ்ய அஸ்தி சஹ ஜ்ஞானி. The wise person, what jnanam he has, what PhD he has got. He doesn't have any PhD, no postdoctoral fellowship. He doesn't have jnanam of anything else. This here in Shastram we call a wise person only if he has knowledge of the absolute reality. Knowledge of the absolute reality is absolute knowledge, ultimate truth. And how did he discover? How did he find? He discovered the truth of everything in this universe, the truth of time and space, the truth of all forms, gross forms, subtle forms, all objects, all forms, and all names denoting those subtle forms or gross forms. And all the functions or purposes associated with those forms, names, and function. Forms and names. All of them, the truth of the entire cosmos in its entirety. Even the unknown worlds, the truth of even heavens. Even if you do not know what heaven is all about, there's no other truth for heaven. Either known world, unknown world, all the galaxies of all the constellations, the star, moon, sun, all the planets, the only truth, the only reality of the whole, inexplicably vast whole, is there as the truth, reality of one's own self, as one's own essential nature, as the truth of very I, the knower, the subject of knowledge. Therefore, the person has discovered the truth and he is called, he is Atma Jnani. One who knows the truth, obtaining as one's own self, is Atma Jnani. And his Atma Jnanam is considered to be the absolute wisdom. The absolutely wise person is the person who has self-knowledge. Such a Jnani. Jnaninam, those people who praise the wise person. In fact, praising a wise person is a flattery. We can never praise a wise person because we don't know what, unless you are a jnani. Now you cannot see the depth of the vision of other person. If at all you praise, okay, seeing the great things of a wise person, you may praise sometimes. So still, ye jnanam stuvanti, those people who worship, sorry, praise, glorify the wise person, jnaninam, objective. Okay, stuvanti, praise, bhajanti, bhajantyarchayanti, the yan sandhi, two verbs are there, bhajanti, archayanti, bhajanti. Bhajanti, worship. Those people who praise the wise person, worship the wise person, they glorify the wise person. Archayanti also means glorify. Archayanti. Tan prati, towards them. Those who praise towards them, the praisers, the worshippers of wise person. Tan means them. Tan is what? Objective plural. Sahatau te tamtau tan. Remember? Tan, them, prati, towards. So you can take it as tan prati, to them. To them. Jnani kritam. Agami punyam gachyati. See, when a jnani is living his prarabdha karma, jnani is living his life. And a jnani also is going through prarabdha karma unafflictedly, untaintedly, objectively. He is free while living. Pain comes, pain is, but jnani doesn't think, I have pain. is free from pain. Yani, also, Yani's physical body may have problems, but Yani will think, I am sick. No. Yani is free from the wrong notions about the self. He's objective towards his body, mind, sense, complex. Most difficult thing is to become objective towards one's own mind. Becoming objective towards one's own mind is the most difficult thing. And it is possible if you have clear vision of the self being distinct from the mind. Otherwise, it is not possible. Your identity, I, is identified with the mind. Mind is mistaken to be the meaning of the word I, expression I. Then how can you be objective? So objectivity is possible only if we distinguish the I from the mind, and we understand I being distinct from the mind, and then you can be objective towards the mind. And such objectivity is possible only for a wise person. Therefore, he Jnani is unaffected by Paradha Karma Phalam. But when he is going through Paradha Karma Phalam, Jnani also has a body, mind, sense complex. So he must be doing his karma as well. Definitely, knowingly, Jnani does not, will not, need not do any wrong action. Because a Jnani is absolutely independent of karma or karma phalam, action or result of action or world or people or anything in the world for his happiness and security. Jnani is doing everything, remaining in happiness. Happily he is doing, he is not doing anything for happiness. Therefore, there's no need for him to do anything wrong. There's no papa karma. But still, aga jnani, when he exalts jnani's karma, the jnani actions performed by jnani objectively, when he goes going through part of the karma in this life, definitely agami punyam will be there. And he's here, this mantra says, this sentence says, Jnani's, what happens to Jnani's agami karma phalam? Jnani doesn't have agami. But still his agami karma phalam will be there. He says, Jnani's agami punya phalam, agami punya phalam goes to them. Jnaninaha agami punya phalam tan prati gacchati, goes to them. To whom? Those who praise Jnani, those who worship Jnani, those who bow to Jnani, those who glorify Jnani. Ye Jnaninam stuvanti, tan prati agami punya phalam gacchati. Ye stuvanti, ye bhajanti, ye archayanti. Ye stuvanti, ye bhajanti, ye archayanti, tan prati jnaninaha agami punya phalam gacchati. Understand? See, in Mundaka Upanishad, we'll be seeing, not immediately, later on. Bhuti kamaha atmagyam archayet. If you want prosperity, you make your own efforts to become prosperous, then you can also seek Bhagavan's grace by being prayerful to Bhagavan. And if you go and bow to wise people also, their blessings also will enable you get bhuti, prosperity. Bhuti kamaha atmagyam archayet. We are going to see the sentence in Mundaka Upanishad later on, not now. When we come across a sentence, I'll tell you. But now understand, this verse says, Ye jnaninam stuvanti bhajanti archayanti tan prati jnaninaha agami punya phalam gacchati. It doesn't sound like Sanskritam, sounds like English today, isn't it? Very simple, kindergarten language. And you all know, first book, you finish, you're going to UKG now. So, okay, next sentence. Jnani kritam agami punyam gacchati. Agami punyam Okay, agami means what? The results of actions, actually right actions, otherwise called agami punyam, earned as a result of actions done by a jnani while exhausting the power of the karma phalam, goes to those who praise him, worship him, and glorify him. Okay, next. So, if I do all wrong actions, if I don't live a life of dharma, and I simply go after these sannyasis and or jnanis, not knowing whether jnanis or not, simply going and after jnanis and falling at their feet, will it help me to attain punyam? I must live a life of dharma. I must be aspiring for jnanam. Then I must have genuine respect for a jnani. If we go and fall at their feet, it is possible to earn some grace. So we should take things literally. Okay, next sentence. Next, I'm reading sentence number 82. Jnaninam nindanti. Again, same ye, relative pronoun, nominative plural, those who ever held, those who nindanti, nindanti, censure, criticize, condemn, dvishanti, hate, dukkha pradanam kurvanti, do things which cause pain to them. Okay, dukkha pradanam kurvanti means what? Those who do anything which cause pain to them, which harm them. So nindanti, dushanti, dukkha pradanam kurvanti, those people who criticize, who censure, who find fault with, and who hate and who do things which cause pain to them, which give pain to them. Of course, jnanis don't have pain, but if you may cause still, you may do harmful things. Nope. Things which cause pain. So such people, okay, for them, whom do they criticize? Jnaninam. Jnaninam. So those who criticize, censure, find fault with, hate, and do things which cause pain to them. Pain. The jnani, cause pain to jnanis. Tan prati, towards them, to them. Jnani kritam sarvam agami. Kriyamanam yad avachyam karma, yad avachyam karma papatmakam tad gachati. See, jnani definitely does not do anything wrong. After the attainment of jnanam, I already said jnani need not, does not, cannot do anything wrong knowingly. Unknowingly also. Okay, but sometimes if at all he has any papa karma is there. There can't be any papa karma at all. Jnani doesn't have papa karma. Punya master or jnani doesn't have. How can there be a papam? Agami papam. The present life when he live, when he is doing things, if those actions happen to create any papam also, that papam, avachyam, avachyam means non-utterable. Vachyam means utterable. Sollat tahanda. Unutterable, non-utterable, avachyam. Avachyam, what is avachyam karma? Papa karma, papam. Non-utterable expression in terms of papam. If at all jnani has any papam, that papam will go to the, papam goes to them, those who criticize and censure and do things which cause pain to the wise people. Is it clear? Should I believe this or not? If you have jnanam, you are absolutely free from all punya papams. No punyam of anybody will come to you. No papam of anybody will come to you because you are a jnana yourself. It is just to glorify a wise person. The textbook presents this extra lesson. Jnani is living his part of the karma phalam. Unafflictedly, untaintedly, objectively. He is already Jivan Muktaha. He is free from bondage of karma. He is not afflicted by any situation, pairs of opposites he is going through in his life. But still he is endowed with the body, mind and complex, so he has to do things physically. A wise person definitely does physical activities. He does think, he does speak, he perceives, he does activities. A wise person, because he has a body, he cannot be staying all time like a Mauni Baba without moving an inch. He can't be sitting. So he will be very active as well. You know? So because he's physical. But he has no, but he is objective. As objectivity, he has no doership, no enjoyership. However, he is free while living. He is not afflicted by any situation. Whatever is the external situation, he is absolutely unafflicted because of his wisdom, because of his objectivity. But those actions which he is doing, they produce punya papa phalam. Definitely only mainly punya phalam. There is no papa phalam at all. But still Upanishad says that. Even if a jnani doesn't have papam, simply criticizing, condemning or finding fault with or hating or doing things which cause pain to the wise person will incur papam. Not only wise person, an ordinary person will do something also, it is papam. If you criticize, condemn, definitely doesn't papam. So here, it is made very clear. So that punyam and papam will go to the person, other people. Jnani is, no, is there. Yet avacham karma, non-utterable karma phalam means what? Papatmakam. Papatmakam means in the form of papam. The unutterable result of actions in terms of agami karma, kriyamanam, agami karma phalam, kriyamanam means being accumulated. Kriyamanam means being accumulated while exhausting the karma, living this life. Sarvam, all agami, kriyamanam, being done, being accumulated while exhausting the power of the karma phalam. And that, yet avachyam is not unutterable karma phalam in terms of papatmakam, in terms of papam, that gachati, tad, that gachati goes, tan prati, that goes to those people who criticize, who find fault with, who do things which harm the wise people. So, ye jnaninam nindanti, dvishanti, dukkha pradanam kurvanti, tan prati, jnani pratam, sarvam agami, kriyamanam, yad avacham karma, papatmakam gattad gacchati. I'll go to the next. Tathacha. So here, we should not take it very seriously, these sentences. These sentences to be Arthavada Vagyani. Simply to glorify wisdom, glorify the wise person. These are all mentioned here. We need not take them very seriously. Means that Jnani does not do any papa karma. Need not do any papa karma. Okay, we'll go to the next question. Tathacha Atmavit. Tathacha Atmavit. Atmavit. Samsaram Tirtva. Atmavit. Samsaram Tirtva. Brahmanandam ihaiva prapnoti. This is where jnana phalam is explicitly revealed. In this sentence, jnana phalam, the benefit of the ascertained vision of the reality, obtaining as one's own self, is explicitly revealed in this sentence. Tathacha Atmavit Samsaram Tirtva Brahmanandam Ihaiva Prapnoti. Tathacha as well, and as well. We saw what happens to those people who praise wise person. What happens to those people who criticize, to condemn and harm wise people, we understood. Tatha cha and as well. Tatha Atmavit. Atmavit, knower of the Atma. Atmanam yaha veti saha Atmavit. Yaha Atmanam veti saha Atmavit. Veti knows. Yaha, he who, Atmanam Veti, knows the self, knows the absolute reality implied by the term Atma, reality obtaining as one's own essential nature. So yaha Atmanam Veti saha Atmavit. The knower of the self is Atmavit. Mean a wise person, Ajnani. Atmavit is Atmajnani. Earlier we came across the word Jnani. Here Atmavit, Jnani, the knower of the Atma. Atmavit. Atmavit Samsaram Tirtva. Samsaram Tarati. Samsaram Tarati. Tarati crosses over the beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Crosses. Crosses the ocean. Tarati means crosses. Tirtva is indeclinable participle of the verb tarati. Tri is the root. Tarati is the verb. Tarati crosses. Tirtva, having crossed. Having crossed. So first the two things happen. Not two, simultaneously happen. But what should happen first, that is said here. Atmavit samsaram tarati. He crosses this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, which is likened to an ocean. Isn't it? He crosses this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, implied by the term, or meant by the term, samsaraha. Samsaram tarati. You okay, because of his objectivity, jnani, he has no, he becomes free from sanchitam karma. Does not become free from sanchitam karma. He is already free as atma. Everybody is already free from of karma. The notion caused bondage is resolved by resolving the very notion. There is no real bondage. Atma vitte, after knowing the self, this jnani's identity is shifted from anatma to atma. And as atma, jnani already sees himself being from bondage of karma. Therefore, what happens is there's no doership, no yajarship, no punyam, no papam, no sanchitam, no agami, no parabdha also for a wise person really speaking. Even though he goes through objective, atma doesn't have any karma. In the wake of the clear vision of what atma is, all his sanchitam disappears. Therefore, agami also is not there for a wise person. No more, there's no more all this is resolved, all wrong notions resolved, all emotions resolved. Therefore, here this person overcomes, he crosses the ocean of samsara. The beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. He becomes free. He discovers freedom while living. He takes ownership of the freedom which he already has. The freedom which is already there as his own sarupam. So taking ownership of freedom which is already there. All self is free from doership and enjoyership. Already this atma is free from punyam and papam. He discovers the atma, he takes ownership of his sarupam. Of being free, thereby he crosses the ocean of samsara. He does not need to attain any birth. No new birth is not possible for him. Assumption of another birth, punarapi jananam, is not possible for a wise person. Why? Because jananam is possible only if karma is. Karma is not, therefore nothing needs to be exhausted, therefore birth is not possible. Why karma is not there? Karma is not there because he knows he doesn't have karma. He knows he doesn't have karma because he knows he is atma. That's all. So he is free while living. He takes ownership of freedom, which is already there while living this life itself. Therefore, samsaram atmavithu samsaram tarati. Samsaram tarati means what? Shokam tarati. He crosses the ocean of cycle of births and deaths, means he overcomes even sorrow. Samsaram tarati. Tirtva. Iha eva. Iha plus eva, ihaiva, vriddhi sandhi. Do you remember vriddhi sandhi? Do you all remember vriddhi sandhi? Iha plus eva, ihaiva. Here itself. When iha separately, here. Eva alone. When put together, here itself. Ihaiva. Here itself means in this very life itself, while exhausting the part of the karma itself, while living this life itself, ihaiva, brahmanandam prapnoti. He attains moksha. Attainment of moksha is implied by the word brahmanandam. Brahmanandaha. Brahmanandaha means he attains moksha. He attains limitless happiness. Obtaining as one's own swarupam. Brahmanandaha means anandaha, means happiness. Happiness means what? Nature of reality, the fullness, the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting nature of reality, fullness, the nature of reality, obtaining as one's own nature is called Brahmanandaha, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting fullness, happiness is the nature of reality, is nature of one's own self. And which is limitless, which is the nature of limitlessness. This fullness, the happiness is limitlessness, is in fact limitlessness. Therefore implied with the term Brahma. So reality implied with the term Brahma is of the nature of fullness, happiness. And the wise person takes ownership of limitless happiness, obtaining as the nature of reality, as one's own real nature. Is taking ownership of nature of reality as one's own real nature is what? Attainment of Brahmanandaha. Don't think he attains. It's not physically attaining. Attainment of Brahmananda in terms of knowledge. Not physical attainment. If it is physically attained, what will happen? It's newly attained, it will go away. It won't be permanent. Anything attained will be impermanent. Anything newly attained will go away one day. Isn't it? Therefore, it is not newly, freshly attained. Prapnoti, apnoti, praapnoti, prapnoti, prakrishena apnoti. Apnoti means gains. Prapnoti attains, gains. Why gaining? Gaining is not physically gaining, not literally gaining, is not newly gaining. Taking ownership of what is already there as one's own real nature is as though attaining. Okay, if something you own, if you do not take ownership of it, then it is as though you are attaining, isn't it? It's not really attaining. It is not something different from you. The wise person does not attain happiness or something. Happiness which is attained by a wise person is nothing but fullness, limitlessness, and which is not newly attained, which is already there as one's own real nature, which is non-separate from one's own real nature. How can fullness, limitlessness, happiness, which is already there as one's own real nature, be attained? How can it be attained? So it is not attained literally. He attains Brahmanandaha means he attains fullness. He attains happiness means he discovers fullness, obtaining as one's own nature. He takes ownership of fullness, which is already there as one's own nature. Then he revels in that vision of fullness, which is expression of fullness is happiness. And this is what is mentioned here as wise person attains Brahmanandaha. Please understand, it is not attained. It is taken ownership of. Which wise person take ownership of his own swarupam of fullness which is already there. Okay. So he became free from the of karma. He also revels in the vision of fullness, obtaining as one's own nature, and which he takes ownership of as a result of discovering his swarupa. Is it clear? If it is not clear, I'll continue next class. Anyway, tathacha atmavit samsaram tirtva brahmanandam ihaiva prapnoti. He does not need to wait for another life, does not need to wait for the death end of the life, does not need to wait for the death to happen, does not need to wait for to get very old, does not need to wait to go somewhere, does not need to wait for some pushpaka vimanam to come, does not need to go anywhere, need not do anything. Wise person need not do anything, need not wait for any special experience. My God, there are people who are dying for experiences. And wise person, shastram, why ihaiva? Ihaiva prapnoti, ihaiva prapnoti means in this very life itself, without any horripilating, expecting any horripilating experiences, with no, people want something, some gliggly experience. No experience is required, no event is possible, nothing. Simply a wise person, just by his clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of what his sarupam is, what is essentially, what is real, and how everything else is mithya, which comes and goes. In the wake of the clear vision of satyam and mithya, atma yatra anatma is mithya, anatma is non-different from satya atma, atma is not distant from anatma. It is this clear vision helps him take ownership of fullness, limitlessness, happiness, which is already there as one's own real nature. This taking ownership of one's own real nature, which is already there, the clear vision of what the self is attainment of Brahmanandaha. Okay? Because people think Brahmananda means and afterward only we must be showing your teeth 24 hours a day. That does not mean all the time you must be giggling and sleep, laughing, and then that doesn't mean that. It is how your mind is. Okay. So Atmaviti Samsaram Tirtha Brahmanandam Ihayeva Prapnoti Ihayeva Prapnoti. In this very life he becomes Jivan Muktaha. He becomes liberated while living this life. Okay. Tarati Shokam Atmavit Iti Shrutehe. Tarati Shokam Atmavit Iti Shrutehe. Again, Atmavit Tarati Samsaram. I said already, Samsaram Tirtva, having crossed the ocean of Samsara, he attained Brahmananda, we saw. Now, Atmavit Shokam Tarati. Samsaram Tarati means Shokam Tarati. He overcomes sorrow for good. There will not be grief, sorrow, sadness, any degree of pain for a wise person. There will be unpleasant, undesirable situations in wise person's life, but he is not afflicted by them, affected by them. There is no such a thing called emotion, internally bothering pain for a wise person. There's no, okay? That emotional pain is not there. Externally, what is there can be there, but he is affected by that. Therefore, we say here, Atmavitta Shokam Tarati. He overcomes sorrow for good. This is called freedom from the hold of emotional pain for good. Suppose as a wise person, if you go and hit him physically, will he have pain or not? Of course physical pain will be there. If suppose if his body is burnt, of course you have physical pain. The wise, like how if you touch fire, you have pain. If you get hit, you have pain. Physical pain will be there for a wise person also like why anybody else. Hunger is there, appetite is there, those self-affliction will be there. But jnani can be objective towards the physical pain also. He can tolerate it, but the pain will be there. But jnani is absolutely free from emotional pain. Free from the hold of emotional pain. Suffering, agony, sadness, grief, sorrow, pain in different degrees of pain. Jnani is unafflicted by pain. Atmavit shokam tarati. Shokaha, grief. So the same thing is, it is a Upanishadic statement. It's a statement from Upanishad. Tattvabodha teacher quotes Upanishad sentence to make his teaching more emphatic. Definitely wise person. Already he said, Atmavit samsaram tarati. Samsaram tirtva brahmanandam prapnoti. Already he has said. But still, it is not that I am saying that the wise person becomes free from bondage of karma, he attains limitless happiness. I am not saying this. Upanishad says this. What attainment of brahmananda here? Isn't it? Already I explained to you. And once the person discovers fullness as his own real nature, he takes ownership of fullness, limitlessness, his own real nature. So in the wake of clear vision of fullness, limitlessness being his own real nature, the sense of inadequacy centered on I resolves. When the sense of inadequacy centered on I resolves, then what is there is only happiness. Fullness. And therefore it said, then no more grief. Atmavitta shokam tarati. The sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of unhappiness centered on I is the cause of unhappiness. Now the sense of unhappiness, sense of inadequacy centered on I is resolved. Unhappiness is not there. And unhappiness is not there. Grief is not there. What is his happiness, which is his non-arriving, non-departing, essential nature of Atma. Over here we see this one. He says, Atmavit shokam tarati. And Bhagavad Gita, 11th verse, Panditaha na anashochanti. You have to find that sentence. Panditaha na anashochanti. Hey Arjuna, he said that. Ashochan anvashochahatvam. Prajnavadamscha bhashase. There he said, Panditaha na anashochanti. Gatasu nagatasumscha. Panditaha na anashochanti. The verb, wise people do not grieve. And here he says, Atmavit shokam tarati. The wise person overcomes sorrow for good. Iti shrutehe. Atarati shokam atmavit iti. Thus says, thus is the statement of shruti. Shrutehe. Positive singular. Shrutehe statement. Iti shrutehe vachanam. Thus is the statement of Shruti. Vachanam is understood. And this author, not only does he quote from Shruti, he also wants to quote from Smriti. Because Shruti and Smriti, whatever Shruti says, Smriti also declares the same. And Shruti and Smriti are authentic, supportive expressions for the author. Tanum tyajatu va kashyam. Tanum tyajatu va kashyam. Swapachasya grihe athava. Grihe thava. A repeating sentence. தனும் தியஜது வா காஷ்யாம், தனும் தியஜது வா காஷ்யாம், ஸ்வபச்சஸ்ய கிரஹேதவா, ஸ்வபச்சஸ்ய கிரஹேதவா, ஞான சம்ப்ராப்தி சமயே முக்தோசௌ விகதாஷய இதி ஸ்மிருதேஷ்ச. தனும் தியஜது வா காஷ்யாம் ஸ்வபச்சஸ்ய கிரஹே அதவா, தனும் தியஜது வா காஷ்யாம் ஸ்வபச்சஸ்ய கிரஹே அதவா, ஞான சம்ப்ராப்தி சமயே, ஞான சம்ப்ராப்தி சமயே, ஞான சம்ப்ராப்தி சமயே முக்தோசௌ, யூ பிரேக் இட், முக்தஹ அசௌ, முக்தஹ அசௌ, முக்தோசௌ விகதாஷயஹ இதி ஸ்மிருதேஷ்ச. I'll repeat. தனும் தியஜது வா காஷ்யாம் ஸ்வபச்சஸ்ய கிரஹே அதவா, ஞான சம்ப்ராப்தி சமயே முக்தஹ அஸௌ விகதாஷயஹ இதி ஸ்மிருதேஷ்ச. So இதி ஸ்மிருதேஷ்ச means what? Thus is a statement of ஸ்மிருதி. ஸ்மிருதேஹே ச வச்சனம், ச அண்ட், ச மீன்ஸ் அண்ட், ஸ்மிருதேஹே ச அண்ட் ஆல்சோ ஸ்மிருதி ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட். வை? ஆல்ரெடி ஸ்ருதி ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் வாஸ் கோட்டட், நோ ஸ்மிருதி ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் இஸ் கோட்டட். ஸ்மிருதேஹே ச வச்சனம், ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் ஸ்மிருதி ஆல்சோ ரிவீல்ஸ் த சேம். வாட் டஸ் இட் சே? தனும், தனுஹு மீன்ஸ் பாடி, தனும் தியஜத்து, லெட் ஒன் லீவ் தி பிசிக்கல் பாடி, லெட் ஒன் டிபார்ட் ஃப்ரம் த பிசிக்கல் பாடி, லெட் ஒன் லீவ் த பிசிக்கல் பாடி. தனும் தியஜத்து, தனும், தனுஹு நாமினேட்டிவ், தனும் ஆப்ஜெக்டிவ் கேஸ், தனும் தியஜத்து, லெட் அ பர்சன் leave the physical body. Kashyam va swapachasya grihe athava, let this person leave the physical body, let the death happen for this person. Where? Kashyam, people go all the way to Kashi to die. Know why? They believe Kashi is a pilgrim center, pilgrim center, holy, considered to be a holy place because Ganga is flowing there, and we have Vishwanatha Swami temple there, Vishalakshi temple there, Annapurna temple there. People, is a holy place. People believe if we go there, have dip in Ganga and have the darshan of Vishalakshi and Vishwanatha Swami, then we will attain. If we die there, we will attain moksha. It is people's belief. But I tell you, if you will go to Kashi, without jnanam, no moksha is possible. Okay? Yeah. But anyway, because religious discipline, we have it in Vedic tradition, Vedic culture. It's a religious discipline. Going to pilgrimage is one of the religious disciplines. Cultural discipline, okay, cultural aspect. That's good for us to become purification, for mental purification. But if you go to Kashi, definitely simply going to Kashi without attaining jnanam will not free us from bondage. Suppose this wise person, whether he leaves his body in Kashi, Kashyam va. Va means what? O-R-R. Va is an indicable expression which means va, or. Let this person tanum tyajatu, kashyam va tyajatu, athava, or else Swapachasya grihe va tyajatu. Let him leave the body in Kashi or in an ordinary chandala's house. No, swapachasya griham means swapakaha is the nominative. Okay, swapachasya is a positive case. I'll explain to that how it is. Swapachasya means the person who eats dog. A dog eater is called chandalaha. Very, very, you know, a barbaric, ordinary, wicked person, ignorant person. Even in the wise, the person who left the body is a wise person. But doesn't matter where his body he lives. Whether he lives in the supachas, you know, the ordinary, this mean, ordinary person's house, or he leaves his body in Kashi, doesn't matter. Tanum tyajatu kashyam va athava, or else, or in the house of a swapakaha, a dog eater. Whether he leaves the body in a dog eater's house or in Kashi, doesn't matter. Jnana samprapti samaye, this person is already free. When he attained jnanam at the time of, see, as long as ajnanam is, there is bondage. In the wake of the clear doubt, we ascertain vision of the truth, obtaining as one's own self, in the right perspective of the self, this person is already free. Asau muktaha. This person is, asau is a pronoun. Asau muktaha. This person is free. Asau muktaha means what? This person is free. Asau muktaha. When does he become free? Asau muktaha. He is free means when is he free? Jnana samprapti samaye. No, at the time of the attainment of knowledge itself. There's a particular time. When his vision of the reality is clear and ascertained, then itself he is free. He is already free. So, jnana samprapti samaye asau muktaha, he is free. And one more thing he said, vigatashayaha cha, he is free while living. No, at the time of attainment of knowledge itself, he is free. Doesn't matter where he leaves the physical body. The physical body, whether is he left in Kashi or in Swapachasya's house, somebody will cremate it. Our body will get disintegrated, that's all. But what happens to your sukshma shariram? That sukshma vigatashayaha. Ashayaha means, you can say, all the karma palani, sanchita agami paradha karma palas are all have gone away from him. All the wrong notions have gone away from him. Wrong, the I sense already resolved. Vigata Sheha means the mind has gone for him for good. In the wake of clear vision of the self being only reality of the whole, the wrong notion is resolved means the mind. In as long as ignorance of the self is, so long can there be mind. In the wake of the clear vision of what I am, what the world is, then this total manifestation of knowledge, then the mind cannot survive anymore. Vigata Sheha means this person is free from the hold of the mind. For good. The mind will resolve for good. Only in jnanam mind will resolve for good. Vigatashayaha means vigataha ashayaha yasmat. The one from whom the ashaya has gone for good. Where the abode of all wrong notions, all punyam, papam, etc. All ashayaha. The person has, from him, the mind has gone for good means mind is resolved for good. The person is free from the hold of mind for good. No more mind. That is why mind is one thing which we can never destroy. People, whoever commits a suicide or commits a homicide, for them, they do not understand. They're going to destroy the physical body, can be killed. They may be harmed or, but nobody can destroy the mind. The mind will survive death. As long as mind is, we are helplessly bound by karma. We are doership, enjoyership. You have all emotions and continue your own baggage. The subconscious and surfacing of conscious unresolved issues and suffering and the pain. All this is what? As long as mind survives. But can we undo our mind? This is what I'm saying. We are absolutely, utterly helpless. We cannot undo our minds. We cannot destroy our minds. We're helpless. Okay? Whereas now, once the jnanam takes place, the mind cannot survive. The mind goes away from him. All punyams go away from him. The mind becomes resolved for good. Vigatashayaha implies the wise person becoming free from the hold of mind for good. And the person becoming free from the hold of mind for good implies no more mind means assumption of new body is not possible. Therefore, there's no more birth, which is called Videha Muktihi. So this is where the author, by quoting this Smriti statement, author expresses the fact that wise person, not only does he become free while living, then when the Paratha gets exhausted, whether he leaves the body in Kashi, the holiest place, or in the most unholy place of dog eater's house, doesn't matter. He is free at the time of the advent of jnanam. From the time he attained jnanam, he has been free. Therefore, his mind will resolve for good. The minute the wise person's paratha gets exhausted, the wise person leaves the physical body after the exhaustion of paratha karma, then wise person does not return, does not come back assuming a physical body. Why? Because mind is not there. The mind, he can come back. Therefore, this non-returning after the jnanam is called what? Videha Muktihi. I'll stop here. We'll continue. I make it very clear next class. Videha Mukti. Okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.